Rebel Radio Podcast, and May the 4th be with you. We are recording this episode on May the 4th.
And also with you.
And that sounds kind of religious there, but you know,
it is.
Peace be with you. And man, and okay, now I feel like I can't say any bad words and stuff. I'm dropping stuff on my desk here. That's what that loud noise was. But I'm going to say something about that. I want to give props to a friend of mine who listens to the show, Sean. And I've known Sean for, man, you know, 30 years or whatever, since we were kids in junior high. And he texted me the other night asking about a Comic Palooza, which we will be at on May 27th, 28th, 29th, or 26th, 27th, 28th, whatever fucking weekend it is.
Yes, pre-memorial.
And Sean was telling me that, you know, he listens to the show, and sometimes he lets his girls listen to it, but not too much because of sometimes of my language. And I just got to laughing because, you know, my nephew sometimes listens to the show, and he told me, Uncle Mark, you got to watch your language. And, you know, but sorry, not sorry, I guess, but I do appreciate Sean listening to the show and giving me his feedback. And so I owe him a prop there, and I'm sure he'll be smiling right now as he hears this. And he's going to try to make it out to our show at Comic Palooza and see us do our
awesome
live
man
thing. So that'll be cool. But yes, Comic Palooza, I mean, I was a little disappointed this week that they announced Carl Urban. We're going to come back to the Star Wars Day thing in a minute, but we're going to do our Comic Palooza pitch here. And I was a little disappointed that Carl Urban canceled because you and me were talking about doing a photo op together. And I was pretty much sold on it. I was actually going to text you like, hey, man, you get, since our server space money's coming up, I was going to be like, hey, Matt, why don't you pay for the photo op and I'll take care of the server space.
We must have been on the same wavelength, because you know, I was like, hey, you know, what if I just paid for the op? And then
that's what Mark I was thinking. Say, and but then, God dang it, he canceled. And I'm looking at the list, and there's just nobody else I really want to take a photo op with. I mean, Carl Urban would have been fucking cool as shit. I mean, he's Dread. He's Bones. He's what's his character name in The Boys? I'm forgetting it. But, you know, he was also
William Butcher.
Butcher, he was in Lord of the Rings. I mean, dude, this dude, he was in Thor Ragnarok. And he just seems like a cool-ass dude, you know?
He does.
So disappointing that Carl Urban's not going to be there. But there are other guests for people to come see. William Shatner's going to be there. They announced the dude. I'm not even going to try to say his name because I'll butcher it.
Oh, Namor.
The dude who played Namor in Black Panther Wakanda Forever, he's going to be there. You know, so there's some good stuff for people to see. And then we're going to do a show where we're going to talk about the legacy and the adventure of Indiana Jones over his 40 plus years of being on film as we get people ready for the Dial of Destiny on June 30th. And so we will be there at Comic Palooza. I don't have our schedule. As soon as I know, I will tell you what day and time we're recording. And I'm also going to probably be on a couple of panels on Sunday, talking Star Wars and podcasting and stuff. So it should be a good time. We will see you there. You come see us. You'll find we'll have stickers or buttons for you if you come say hi.
Yes. And, plenty of stickers and buttons.
It'll be cool. And, you were asking me, how long we've been doing Comic Palooza. And I think 2016 or 17 was the first year they had the podcast program. But our show is actually, I didn't realize this, Matt, next year in May, a year from now, will be 10 years of the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Yeah.
We started in 2014 doing the Rebel Radio Podcast, and
that's right.
10 years next year. And, we're going to get there. You know, I do, cause we still enjoy doing it. And I will not lie to our fans. Me and Matt have talked about the possibilities of one day the show ending. Cause you know, we're getting older and busier, and sometimes we run out of things to talk about, but we're definitely determined to make it to 400 episodes in 10 years at least.
Exactly.
So
we gotta hit the milestone first before
Then maybe our energy will get revitalized and we'll go towards 500. You never know.
You never know, man. Reboot. Reboot the show.
But you know, it is Star Wars Day as we record this episode, and I want to talk about this a little bit. You know, the reason made me think about this. I'm listening to the A-Team on the sports radio, picking up the kids today.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Clanton, who I respect as a local sports announcer, and he does a good job, and he seems like a cool dude, and he's married to the smoking hot Teresa. And, you know, he was making fun of Star Wars nerds and having this day and stuff. And you know what I say to that? Fuck him, man. You know what? Everybody's got their thing, whether you're a hardcore sports fan about a certain team or even Star Trek fans or Doctor Who fans. Now, there are some weird shit out there, like bronies. Don't even ask me to explain that. It's a little bizarre. No. Furries. That's a little bizarre. But you know what? to each their own, man. I fucking love Star Wars, and I'm proud to say May the 4th be with you. And I think it's cool that Star Wars fans have kind of created this holiday. And Matt, you're funny. You're chasing a fucking fly while we're recording.
It's that fly that ruined Jeff Goldblum. That's why I'm trying to get it.
Star Wars Day is cool, man. I mean, celebrities get behind it, and it was great to see Carrie Fisher get her star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame today.
Definitely satisfying.
Mark Hamill and her daughter were there to unveil it, and that was really cool. And it's cool, man. It's kind of fan-created. Fans started saying May the 4th be with you, and it's become a thing, man. I mean, Amazon, different retailers do discounts and stuff. I was looking at Amazon's deals. They didn't really have anything I wanted. So believe it or not, I didn't buy anything on Star Wars Day. I just didn't see nothing that stood out. A couple of T-shirts I thought about buying, but then you read the reviews about how these T-shirts are imported and they don't last long. And I'm like, I'm not going to buy that. But it's cool, man. I got lots of cool Star Wars shit. And it was fun as hell last week seeing Return of the Jedi on the big screen for its 40th anniversary. And, I think Star Wars Day is a really cool thing. And it just feels a little weird. Cause last year we had the new trailer for Obi-Wan right before the show came out. And I know Star Wars Visions hit Disney Plus today, but it feels a little bit less whelming Star Wars Day this year. But that's okay.
Yeah.
We can't be spoiled all the time as Star Wars fans.
Yeah, because you're eventually going to have that off year where you're just not as riled up as usual with what's being released, because you can't just drop friggin' bombs every single year. I think eventually you'd try and go too big, and maybe it just, would ruin what you were trying to do.
Well, yeah. And I look at this time next year, we'll probably have the final season of The Bad Batch on the way. We might have casting for the next Star Wars movies. So it's all coming. We know it's on the way, and that's all that matters. And we've got Ahsoka coming out in August, and, Backlight and the other shows that are coming. So more news on hopefully a season 4 of Mandalorian. And Matt, you're not going to miss from Miyagi that fucking fly, man. So just give up.
You're right. He's pretty evasive. I'm like spraying stuff at him.
Actually, he's over there like, motherfucker, I'm just playing you, dog. You know?
I got him. I got him, dude.
Only the fun that the Rub Royo podcast can bring.
Yes. I didn't Miyagi him. I kind of Lego Batmaned him from the Lego movie where he's throwing all those batarangs, and then he finally hits the button. He's like, first try.
That's pretty funny. It's been a short week for us because we recorded Saturday night. Now we're recording Thursday, which, it's every other week. We kind of do that with your crazy new work schedule you're going, but that's cool. Yeah. And I didn't watch much this week. I just mentioned Star Wars. So I did start on the second season of Bad Batch and got about 3 episodes in, and it just continues to be really good. I'm telling you, if you dismiss this show, man, and you love Star Wars, give it a chance. It's really well done. I'm enjoying it so far. And that's really about all I've really watched in the last few days. Cause son had baseball last couple of nights, and, just haven't had time to sit down and watch anything. It is kind of weird. Like, even though I own the Alien movies on Blu-ray, I did purchase Aliens for $5 on Vudu's Alien sale, just because it's my favorite James Cameron movie and it's my favorite Aliens movie.
Yeah.
And now I have the convenience of watching it digitally without having to pull up my Blu-rays. And it seems kind of silly to spend the $5, but I was like, you know what? I want this movie in my digital collection. And it's such a good movie, man. One of my favorites. But other than that, just a Bad Batch. But I know you, man, we were recording a little bit late because you just got back from the movies. And I'm going to see this movie hopefully this weekend. And so you saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which hit theaters pretty much across the world tonight.
Yes, sir.
And so, man, what do you have to say? Keep it spoiler free, man, because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, absolutely spoiler free. I feel like it's... Some people could consider this the best Guardians in the trilogy. I think the first one's still the best. I just don't think you can top what they captured in the first one. But there's a ton of callbacks, obviously, in the film. It's an entertaining film. It looks good. I feel like the action starts pretty quick. There's also good, very good comedy in it, as always. I laughed genuinely. I was genuinely entertained. And, you know, I felt like there was some emotional spots that I wasn't, you know, expecting from a Guardians film. Because usually it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, goofy, you know, joyful action type of movie. But they still found a way to be kind of like emotionally relevant in a way that I didn't think they were going to be able to do. So if you're, you know, wondering if this is a movie worth seeing in theaters, absolutely. Watch it. Apparently I missed like the best part. I've got to ask my son what happened when I went and took my other son to the restroom. So there's that. Might have to go see it again. Maybe a good excuse to go watch it again. But if you've got a chance to see it in theaters, I think this is better than anything that has come out since No Way Home. And, you know, I know you said that's not saying much, but it, you know, I feel like it's the best as of late. Since that 2020 movie. And you know, that's something, you know, took them 3 years to come out with, you know, with something I felt was up to what, phase five. They ended with phase five or phase four,
right?
Phase three. I forget which phase it was, Endgame. Right. But I feel like, this is something that could have fit into that realm. That good of quality movie. Of course, brought to us by James Gunn.
I want to ask this because I read, you obviously, with Marvel movies, everyone knows by now, you save for the credits. I've heard, and I think you can answer this spoiler-free, that this is the first time we've had a post-credit sequence in a while that significantly means something.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And I think it's worth staying for the whole credits.
Right. Because, you know, the last few post-credit scenes have been kind of not much. Let's just be honest. I think here's my thing is I have to really think what they are. I remember Doctor Strange's ex-wife showing up. I remember Venom coming to MCU. I couldn't even tell you what the Thor one was. Was it Hercules or something like that?
Yeah, Hercules.
But they all don't feel like they meant much. But I've heard that this one is Thanos level. Like, that's how important this post-credit scene is possibly.
Yeah. No, you could say that. I think maybe there's more to it than what I caught. But I think it's definitely significant. Whether it's that significant, well, remains to be seen. But right. I think it's definitely a higher caliber of meaningfulness.
Right.
That's for sure.
Well, I mean, you know, I know the bad guy is the High Evolutionary, and I know, being a Marvel fan, what he can tie into. So I can see how there's potentials for a major post-credit sequence, considering what he can tie into in the universe. So
yeah,
so that's cool. I'm kind of excited. I haven't been really, you know, I haven't seen Ant-Man and Wasp. I'm gonna wait until it comes out on Disney Plus here in a couple weeks, and. I haven't really been excited for a Marvel film since No Way Home. I mean, I felt like I was doing homework watching Doctor Strange and Thor. Now I did enjoy Wakanda Forever. I know it had its detractors, but I actually enjoyed that film. And I think I enjoyed that film though, because Ryan Coogler is such an amazing director. He puts so much on screen for you to look at and for you to view. And he is able to pull you into a really great story. And I think that's why I did like Wakanda Forever. Now, can I step back from Wakanda Forever and say I wish that they had recast T'Challa? I mean, yes, I kind of think it made the story suffer some, but I also understand what they were doing for Chadwick and being respectful to him as well. Yeah. But it didn't make me appreciate the film much less, because I still think Coogler did an amazing job. I think Coogler, after watching Creed and two Black Panther films, I really want to see what this guy can really do with some properties of his own, man. I'd like to see him get out from other IPs and do something, you know, really spectacular, because I think he's a good director. But that's cool. Anything else you watched this week?
I did play a little Destiny on a new campaign. A new old campaign, as a campaign that I paid for the expansion pack. And I never really went into it, and I finally just started getting into it today. But I'm still like, I think one or two expansion packs behind. I'm just going to wait till they go on sale. I just don't play enough of it consistently to spend, you know, $100 on an expansion pack. I'd rather buy Resident Evil 4 and you know, go back and do Resident Evil 4 remake. But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, it was a short week. Neither one of us had time to watch much. But yeah, you saw a big movie, so that's pretty cool.
Big movie.
There's a little bit of news, and this has something to do with being a short week because it is Thursday. Just not much happened this week. But a couple of things, man. We got our first look at Dune Part 2. You know, I watched the trailer, and it for being a Denis Villeneuve film, it looks absolutely amazing, as you would expect. But I realized I don't remember anything that happened in Part 1. It's like I'm going to have to rewatch Part 1 before I can watch Part 2.
It's kind of a blur.
Yeah, and I think it just goes back to what I talked about when I reviewed Part 1, is that this is kind of very grown up, and I am a grown up, but very smart man science fiction. And I find the stories of spices and dunes and bearings just kind of boring, no matter how good it looks. But I also, at the same time, can appreciate it. And I think I'm willing, I'll give Part 2 a chance. I'll have to go back and watch Part 1, but it just tells me that Part 1 wasn't super memorable for me if I don't remember what happened.
I like the cool, like, knives, the cool blades and the
shields. Oh, the look shields, of the film, the ships, you know? And the sets and everything were amazing, yeah.
Yeah, that stuff's cool, but yeah, like the whole spice stuff.
Yeah, and it's got incredible actors in it. I mean, who's who was in the fucking movie? I mean, you know, they were all in it, and it looks like Part 2, the cast expands even more. I mean, Christopher Walken's in Part 2, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, bringing Austin Butler in and several other actors, and Daya has said that she does have a lot more to do in this one. so, you know,
His voice.
Oh Lord.
You know, I can't quite do it. You know, it's like it starts low and it goes high and then he pauses.
Yeah. He's a unique voice.
Yeah.
But you know, we'll see, man, when Dune Part 2 comes out later this year.
Yeah.
J. Michael Straczynski, the creator of Babylon 5 and one of my favorite shows of all time, has there's been rumors of a CW reboot for a while now, and JMS has said that's not dead. It's just kind of on hold with this current writer's strike and CW doing some budget things. And I've said before, I'm not sure about the Babylon 5 reboot being on CW. I wish it was on a different network. But JMS dropped a bombshell this week as he announced that there is a Babylon 5 animated film coming from Warner Brothers. And it's 100% real. It's complete. It's done. He's already shown the film to Bruce Boxleitner, who, of course, played Captain Sheridan. And he said Bruce was blown away by it.
Wow.
On Wednesday, there's going to be more details, like probably the title and release date and a trailer is coming. But it's 100% real and it's happening. For the first time in 20 years, we're getting more Babylon 5 from its creator. And he says it's everything you expect from the show and more. And he said the animation's fantastic. So it sounds really cool, man. If Babylon 5 can live on some form, and JMS has also said if people support it and they watch it and buy it, Warner Brothers definitely wants to do more. So it's a way to get Babylon 5 back if the other reboot doesn't happen. And you know, there was talks for years about a movie, but a lot of the actors have passed on and things like that. So this is a way maybe to continue the legacy of some of those characters if it's the same characters from the original Babylon 5.
Yeah, and maybe they can get Vin Diesel, you know, to come back from doing the Lord of the Rings style of car chase movies, then, you know, Babylon 5 can be complete.
Vin Diesel was not in Babylon 5. He was in the movie called Babylon AD that was terrible.
Oh.
And he needs to stay away from Babylon 5, Matt, or I'm going to slap you upside your bald head.
Family? No.
You need to watch Babylon 5.
I do.
It's streaming on Tubi and all kinds of places. It had the remastered versions were on HBO Max, but I think they're not on there now. But I think all those versions that are streaming are all remastered now.
Okay.
But, you know, it's a slow news week when I put this news in there. because it's just a rumor. You know, there's a lot of rumor that casting is starting to begin for Fantastic Four as it gets ready to begin filming for its release in a couple of years. And there's rumors that Margot Robbie is going to jump from the DC Universe to the MCU and play Sue Storm. And this is where, you know, it's a slow news week. As I've said before, Margot can do anything she wants, and I'm there for it 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, she can.
If she wants to play Sue Storm, I will let her 10 days a week.
You will allow it.
Yes, absolutely. You know, she is my celebrity crush big time, and she has been since Wolf of Wall Street. And for not just the obvious reasons. Come on now.
Yeah.
I can be a perv. But, you know, hey, I honestly think, man, she's gorgeous and she's beautiful, but she's also a good actor. She really is.
Very talented, yeah.
And she's not just a pretty face. And I think she'd be a really good Sue Storm.
I saw it. I don't know if it's – did they confirm Adam Driver as Reed Richards?
No, it's just another rumor too. Yeah, it's just a rumor. A lot of people say it still could be Jonathan Krasinski since he was – Reed in the Illuminati scene.
Yeah.
That, you know,
makes sense to me.
And I was always for him and Emily Blunt, his wife, playing Richard and Sue. I was fine with that too. Yeah. But, you know, Margot Robbie would be great as well. I mean, I would 100% support her in being Sue Storm.
And Danny DeVito as the Thing.
No. I mean, you know, if I had my way, I would cast Margot in pretty much every role in the universe. Yeah. You know?
Oh yeah.
She wants to be a Jedi, she can be a Jedi. She wants to be a Vulcan, Jedi. She can be a Vulcan. You know, she wants to be in the MCU, she can be in the MCU. And because you know, her Harley Quinn stint is likely done with James Gunn taking over, and you know, and yeah. I'm sure if they ever do Harley in the new DCU, they're gonna recast. And I know Lady Gaga's playing her in this weird Joker musical, but that's a Elseworlds movie, as they're calling
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so that's like an alternate dimension.
And yeah, I'm not seeing that movie. I didn't like the first Joker, so I have really no interest in the sequel at all. I just, and I'm a Batman guy through and through, but no interest in that.
Yeah, it's odd film.
Yeah, and but Margot Robbie has my pick for playing Sue Storm.
Yeah, especially if Emily Blunt ain't in the running, you know.
Yeah.
Take either one. You can't go wrong either way.
No, I would take either one. And like I said, it was a slow news week, so that's why. we are talking about Emily Blunt and the MCU. I was just double checking the news real quick, make sure I didn't miss anything. It really has been a slow news week.
Yeah, we just have the May the 4th. You know,
Iron Man 3 is 10 years old this week. I can't believe the movie's 10 years
old. Oh, wow. Guy Pearce.
Yeah. Seems like just yesterday I saw that movie. Yeah, that means all three Iron Mans came out in a period of like 5 years. Wow.
Makes sense. Yeah. Iron Man 08 and then 2010 and then 2013. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the news I had, man. Let's get into today's featured film, a movie straight. This is the first time we've ever done a movie that came off of Netflix. And part of that was, you know, I think Netflix, the first few years, you know, they're putting out films and some are okay, some weren't okay. And now they're starting to, you know, they've had films that are nominated for Oscars, a lot of quality films. That's, you know, it's just the honest truth about it. And this one is an Indonesian action film, which is starting to become a genre within itself, man.
Is it an action film or is it a martial arts film? Is it a horror film? I mean, take your pick.
Yeah. I mean, this was a first time watch for you. It's a second or third watch for me. I think maybe two and a half, because I think one time I didn't finish it.
Fell asleep halfway through.
Yeah.
Like it's late.
And I'm going to let you give a brief summary of this film.
Yeah. So if you've seen The Raid, The Raid 2, or hell, The Force Awakens, then you know who these people are.
Some people forget. Headshot.
Or a movie called Headshot, which
is also an Indonesian action film.
Yeah. It's got, and I don't want to butcher the name, so I've got them right here. Joe Taslim plays Ito. And, you know, they ask him to kill a little girl at the beginning as part of a triad attack, on this village. And he turns the gun on the people that he works with, and he decides to save the girl because, in a way, later on, he states he's saving himself. And man, the triad's not very happy with this. And his former best friend, I guess, Arian, played by Iko Uwais, is now in line to kind of be this big shot in the triad, these seven C's, which these seven C's are like just badass martial artists. They're almost like superhuman. And when you watch this film, these guys are taking meat cleavers to the shoulder and they're still going. They're getting stabbed. They just pull the whatever the weapon is out and they keep going. And essentially, it's a power struggle. Triads using the relationship between Ito and Arian to gain control of the city, put new people in power. And eventually I would say they kind of go back and forth between deciding if they're going to be allies or fight against each other. And it all butts up in the end and they fight each other and then turn on the people that pitted them against each other. The girl is safe with some help from another mercenary, female mercenary. I forget her name. I don't want to mess it up, but the motorcycle chick, she fights the two girls. One of them is also from the Raid. She was Hammer Girl from the Raid. Yeah. So you see a lot of familiar faces if you remember seeing the Raid 2, and you know, it's just crazy, ridiculous action. I mean, I feel like the gunshot wounds are kin to horror movies. Whenever their body parts are just getting exploded, the knife wounds, it's like even the little girl picks up a knife and she's like stabbing a guy, and it's pretty graphic. It's hard to say whether this is, I wouldn't call this an action film. I would call this like a martial arts horror film. Really, it's like John Wick. You know, you watch John Wick, that's an action film. You watch IP Man, you watch Ong Bak 2, you know, yeah, it's an action film, but that's more of a martial arts film. I feel like there's so much really, really good martial arts and you know, true martial arts in this film that you've got to call it, I have to call it a martial arts film, but it is also an action film. It's just one of those things, you know, call it what you will, but
right.
Man, that he uses a bone. There's a scene where he uses a bone to block a bone saw, and then he breaks the bone in half and he stabs one guy in the head and one guy in the chest, and it's just ape shit. You know, yeah. It's crazy.
I was wondering what you were going to think, because you're a big horror guy.
Yeah.
So you've seen a lot of fucked up horror movies and stuff, but this for an action film has moments that just, you're literally going, whoa, whoa. And it's happening so quickly. Like the first 30 minutes of this film are intense.
Oh yeah.
Like super intense. And then it kind of slows down some and lets you catch your breath. And you're almost like, what am I watching? You know, it's a pretty simple story, but yet it moves at a breakneck speed. It's got these crazy characters that you're introduced to your left and right. It's no holds barred. In fact, some countries it was releasing, you know, some of these Netflix movies go to theaters in a lot of countries. It was given NC-17s in the highest ratings because it's so graphic.
You can't even watch this in Indonesia, not because it's banned, but because Netflix is banned. So you can't watch the movie because Netflix is banned in Indonesia.
Right.
Which I forget why, but it just is.
Yeah. Yes. And it is intense. I mean, talk about ape shit crazy. There's a part where he literally guts a guy by through his pants and pulls his dick off. You don't literally see it, but you know what happened.
Oh, I mean,
you can see it kind of quickly, but you know what he just ripped off. It was just like, holy shit. I mean, this movie, I mean, there's direct gunshot blast straight to the face. I mean, there are arms and limbs broken left and right. There are blades going through people. There's faces ripped off. I mean, it is an extremely brutal, violent, graphic film. But yet, at the same time, the first time I watched this, I was like, this is kind of ridiculous. The second time you watch it and you kind of know what's going on, I didn't find it as ridiculous, because you think about these triads and these violent criminals, like, it probably would be pretty extremely bloody if they're all
bad. Oh, yeah.
So it's not maybe as ridiculous as it sounds. Now, what I did find a little fantasy-like in this is the triads can't afford enough guns for everyone, so they all have blades.
Yeah, and axes.
I'm like, they don't have more guns? It's like, just shoot Joe Taslim's character of Ito. It would be a lot easier, but no, we're going to chase him with blades and give him a chance to use the blades against us.
Yeah, I know, right? He's like, we're going to give him a chance to use his hand-to-hand combat,
right?
Which is severely more advanced than ours.
Better than all of ours. Yeah.
Yes.
When he goes into the into Arian's warehouse, you know, where they originally formed, and why don't they bum rush him? It's like one or two guys are taking one at a time. The other guys are standing back there, hold their blades, going, "Ah, it's going to be our turn soon." And it's a movie. You got to suspend.
I know. It's like, is Dr. Evil telling these? I want one lone henchman to watch Austin Powers. I need one henchman at a time, please.
And possibly it's because Joe Taslim is such a huge star overseas that, you know, like, no, we're going to respect him and let him do his thing. And, so you got to suspend your belief with some of it. But at the same time, like, I love this movie for how apeshit crazy it is and how action-packed it is. And you had texted me you were going to watch it with your wife. Did she make it through it?
Man, the first 10 minutes, she's like, oh, really? Oh, it's that.
Oh, I can see her saying that.
He makes – Arian makes a guy eat a broken bottle, and then he smashes his head onto the damn table. Because the girl he sent over didn't know how to pour wine.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that was a badass, you know, brutal kill. That's what starts out the movie, just shortly in. He teaches him a lesson.
And you have this crazy ass character in White Boy Bobby.
Who's White Boy Bobby. He's got no foot.
Willing to do anything to protect his friends. And he's just crazy. He was in the Raid movies also, that actor who played White Boy Bobby. The director has this, he wants to do a trilogy. He wants to do two more of these.
Cause
we only saw two of the six C's in this film. And I don't know where else you would go with this, but I do kind of like the way they played the triad boss in this too. He's just kind of this laid back hillbilly guy, drinks and smokes and talks English instead of Indonesian. And he's just like, basically, yeah, he's so chill and calm. Like, you know, he wants to be your best buddy, but he's going to fucking kill you too.
Oh, yeah. Don't take his cool demeanor for, someone that wants to deal in pleasantries all the time. He does not. He's very different type of triad boss. You figure, you know, the triad boss would be more like Lucy Liu's character from Kill Bill or something.
Right.
Know? If any of you have anything else to say, holding like a, severed head over the table of all the other leaders, just figured I'd get, one of those. But yeah, he's very different. Kind of looks like a laid back, lazy dude. He's pretty brutal. And we never get to see him fight.
No, we never do. Do you think that the simplicity of John Wick's first film, with it just being revenge for his dog, it's kind of created this subgenre of these kind of movies? Like, this movie is basically a giant revenge movie by the triad, because Ito decides he wants to be good and saves this little girl. And it's all about them going after this little girl who means absolutely nothing to the triad other than
she's
a witness, but they want to kill her. They want to kill Ito for it. And the Raid movie is very simple too. They go into the building to kill this mob boss, and the whole plot's based around them going floor to floor. So it's kind of a new genre of action films. And then these Indonesian films are becoming akin to the popularity of Hong Kong action films in the 90s, and we're getting a lot of Indonesian directors and starting to make these films.
Isn't China like kind of funding some of that? Yeah. And I think they just, they realize that there's good stuff coming out of those studios. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's going to turn, it's going to make people tune in. It's going to turn a profit and it's going to be entertaining. People are going to watch it.
I mean, the Raid films were fantastic. And The Night Comes for Us is not as good as the Raid films, but I still find it very entertaining. If you get a chance, watch Headshot. I think it's on Netflix and it stars Eco US also. It's pretty good too. Not as good as this, but I still enjoyed Headshot. It's fun to watch too. And these guys, man, Joe Taslim, Eco US, they have a lot of charisma. These guys can be stars if marketed correctly. Yeah. And I know Eco and Joe have both done some American stuff. Eco is in that Cinemax, HBO Max series Warriors. Joe Taslim, of course, played, did he play Scorpion or Sub-Zero in the Mortal Kombat movie? And he's done a few American things now.
Scorpion, yeah.
Yeah, so these guys are really well-trained martial artists and good actors and have potential to be stars in their own rights if they get the right roles.
And Eco was in, he was in Mile 22 as well, and he was in Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
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 I didn't realize he was in Man of Tai Chi, that, speaking about John Wick, and like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, that's a small part, though, if I remember right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, these guys are doing some good stuff, man, and The Night Comes for Us is extremely brutal, very, very stylized in a lot of ways. I like how it had almost a noir look to it with some of the sets with the low lighting and neon lights and things like that.
Maybe very not gritty.
A classic sci-fi noir, but more of a gritty, dark noir look to it.
Almost like how the newer Judge Dredd movie kind of looked with with that apartment complex that they were in. It almost kind of gave me that type of feel. Man, and the guy that has his money at the beginning.
Jonah or something. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got that butcher shop and
he gets the worst of it of anybody.
Yeah. He's friggin' crazy. He's like cutting the meat and there's just blood splattering on his face. Yeah. And, he ends up
shot
calling,
in both feet.
Yeah. Shot in both feet. His friggin' kneecap blown off. I think one of the craziest weapons in here is the razor wire yo-yo.
Oh, the girl.
Yeah. That Hammer Girl kind of has, or used to be Hammer Girl.
Hammer Girl was the one that played the girl on the bike on the motorcycle.
Okay. She's the operator.
And it helps, you know. Yeah. Okay. It's a different actress. Played the other girl. Diane. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to say her last name.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Alma. Yeah. She's Alma. And she's friends with the blonde chick.
Yeah.
With the kukri knife.
Elena and Alma.
But yeah, it's that thing's nuts. It cuts off fingers.
Really rips the dude's hand almost off.
Yeah, man. Like in half. Cuts through the bone too. And ultimately it's turned on her and saws through her jugular. Mm. Crazy, man. This thing they aren't afraid to have fingers come off and operator, the operator, her finger gets kind of cut off and she just rips the rest of it off herself and tosses it off. Like it's nothing.
Oh man. She's a tough girl, man. She's a cool actress, man. She was awesome as Hammer Girl. And I do appreciate too. I like how these Indonesian action films, especially The Raid 2 and now The Night Comes for Us, aren't afraid to give these females really strong, badass action roles. They're tough as nails and they hang with the boys and they kick ass and they're also not afraid to kill them off either. You know, it used to be a thing for many years in films like, oh, you couldn't kill females, you know, and now it's like, it's all hoy hands on deck.
Like you said, all no holes barred, baby.
Yeah. And,
nothing's off the table.
And there was kind of a funny joke in there too, when they're going up the elevator and they leave the girls there and they're like, they're weird lesbians and stuff. And I'm like, you know, the woke culture in America might be like, oh, that's not a funny joke, but I thought it was a funny joke. Uh-huh. And they're going with the elevator. Of course, they all get blasted away in the elevator. So maybe the girls were smart not to go into it.
That's true. A grenade goes off in the elevator.
But overall, man, I'm glad I got you to watch this. I know you like good action films too. And I was curious. I was really curious what your reaction was going to be, the intensity and the action and just the gore factor. Cause it is what I told you, you know, I know Matt, you're a little more lenient with your kids sometimes with some violence and hard and things you watch. And I wasn't kidding with this one. Don't let your kids be in the room. This one is way too much for children.
Yeah. There's some movies that it's like, you know, those 80s and early 90s style horror gore movies. They're not nearly as bad as the gore and horror that we see today. Yeah. So it's almost like that stuff is almost like a PG-13 plus kind of stuff, you know, unless it's got nudity in it, then you're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, that's different. But like Scream, you know, I've had my, you know, my oldest has seen Scream. My 7 year old has seen Scream. And it's like, this is bloodier than Scream. I wouldn't let them watch this.
This is one of the bloodiest movies I've seen in the last few years. I mean, maybe the first Raid is close to this, but even the first Raid isn't as bloody as this, you know?
The bloodiest movie I've seen in the past couple years is The Terrifier. And this is like
a whole different genre. That's
yeah.
That's the kind of genre I think that's not even meant to be
torture.
Yeah, it wasn't even meant to be a hit. It became a hit due to the internet. That's a almost a niche genre for people that really want to watch sick, twisted shit.
Yeah. You know? I barely watch that stuff. And, I watched it because someone invited me over to watch it and I had to watch it.
Yeah. Where The Night Comes for Us, I think, is just ups the intensity by showing more brutal action and more brutal kills.
Yeah.
But again, it had me like, oh, that's crazy. But it never had me grossed out or terrified like a movie like Terrifier would be. You know, this is more, okay, this is happening. It's cool. You know, where sometimes when you're seeing someone brutally murdered by a horror villain, it's a little harder to watch, you know,
I think
because it's someone being brutally murdered. And that's not to say death is different in a movie like The Night Comes for Us, but when there's fighting large amounts of martial arts crews and everyone's fighting, you kind of accept it differently than you do when a horror villain is killing someone.
Exactly.
Sorry. Sneezing. Yeah, it's all that fly shit you were blowing in there.
Maybe so. Maybe it was all that. But yeah, two different types of horror. You know, it's like, you know, we have a fan of the show that wanted us to do Hostel. And, you know, that's akin to Terrifier. And it's not exactly like this kind of film that we're talking about today. You know, it's just amped up action gore, you know, for all purposes. And pretty well done, too. I don't know how they're doing their effects. I think some of their gunshots are maybe computer generated. Maybe some of that muzzle flash is computer generated.
Maybe so.
But, you know, I think the makeup on the wounds is great. Mm-hmm. It all looks good to me.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to look up and see who choreographed this film, but I don't know if it was the same guy that used in the Raid films, but I thought the fight sequences were really well done, really well choreographed. Like you said, the special effects work is well done in this film. And if they choose to go the route doing a sequel and show us more of the six C's, I'd be down for it.
Yeah, no, I think it's worth exploring because I think they don't really explain it much in the movie for you to grasp that, you know, these are basically super, you know, super martial artists, basically.
Right.
There's a ranking system. Yeah. There's a ranking system that's alluded to in the film that, you know, they kind of joke about that they don't get it or understand it or care about it. But, you know, it's worth digging into. How you proceed from here, that's a good question.
Right, because you killed everybody in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the end of the film, and a little spoiler here in case we have, I mean, the film ends with Ito rushing the car into a blaze of guns and stuff, and you never see him die, but you kind of have to assume that he probably bit the dust.
Had to have.
You know, but because they didn't show it, who knows? You know, they can write a story that where he somehow survives, you know?
Yeah, ends up in a hospital, and they, you know, sew them up and maybe they've got a back to tank or something in there. They just throw them into,
but, Yeah, but it's a cool film, man. If you haven't seen it, check out The Night Comes for Us on Netflix. I mean, at the very least, you'll be highly entertained for 2 hours. I mean, the movie is action-packed. It goes by quick. It really is a quick two-hour film. It's so full of action. It slows down for brief moments, but it will definitely entertain you. And I'm not going to lie, it's bloody as fuck, but it's good.
Very entertaining.
Yeah, I like this movie. I mean, it's sitting at a 6.9 on IMDb, so almost a 7. Anytime you see anything on IMDb 7 and up, you know you're in for a pretty good solid film.
Oh yeah,
and
they can be kind of harsh on the rating. So you know, if it's a 7, it might actually be more of an 8.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is a good, exciting film. And if you're a fan of the Raid films or any kind of martial arts action films, you'll enjoy The Night Comes for Us. And so definitely worth your watch. I mean, you're paying for Netflix anyways. Watch something entertaining besides reruns of Cake Boss or whatever those shows are.
Cake Boss.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So we're going to go from one highly entertaining film to another next week. And, I was looking – I don't think we've ever done a Guy Ritchie film. Which is strange because I'm a fan of his. I know I did talk about The Gentleman, which came out a couple years ago, and I was in one of our download this as we watched. But Guy Ritchie is a director that definitely comes from that Tarantino school when he first came out making Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and some films that are definitely in that crime genre. But we're going to talk. Arguably my favorite of his next week, and maybe his most popular because it did help to have the star power of Brad Pitt in it. And that is Snatch.
Frankie Fourfingers has a diamond the size of a fist.
86 carats.
Do you know something that I've done?
Jeez, it's flawless.
Where?
London.
London.
You know, fish, chips, cup of tea, Mary Poppins, London.
What do I know about diamonds? I'm a boxing promoter.
I've got a bare knuckle fight, so I want to use the piking.
Fishy Vassilier, concentrate.
What?
You're going to have to repeat that.
Fishy Vassilier, concentrate.
You what?
What is a gun doing in your trousers?
Protection. Protection from what?
The Germans.
I want the keys and give me the stone.
The only man who knew the combination. You just shot.
I'm getting heartburn. Tony, do something terrible.
Where is the stone?
Heavy.
Shut up and sit down, you big bald.
So what should I call you?
You can call me Susan if it makes you happy.
I don't care if it's Muhammad, Imad, Bruce Lee.
We're going down in the fourth round.
Whoops.
Anything to declare?
Yeah.
Don't go to England.
Side of sauce frame furniture. And scarf cushions with matching shotgun clothes.
Did you understand a single word of what he just said?
This is a fun movie, man. It's another movie. It's kind of apeshit crazy. Maybe not in the same way The Night Comes for Us is, but it's
different got
its,
way. Yeah.
It's a different crazy. It's a crime movie like no other. Guy Ritchie certainly has a style and a flair for the way he directs his crime films. Well acted across the board with a lot of crazy characters, a bit of comedy in it, and a bit of fun, a bit of good fights and bloody sequences. The crazy old bastard uses pigs to eat people.
Yeah.
So, Snatch is a heck of a lot of fun. It's been some time since I've watched it, and it's going to be a good one, I think, to talk about on the show next week.
Yeah, Ritchie, he's one of those directors where you just know his style. If you're watching a film and you're familiar with his films and you know, no one told you what film you're watching, you'd be like, is this a Guy Ritchie film?
Right.
It's similar to like Sam Raimi. You know, you're like, man, did Raimi direct this?
Right.
You know, they have like the camera, the way the camera would pan. Mm-hmm. With Ritchie, it's how fast the action is.
Yeah.
And very, very much, very, unique. Sorry, that's the word I was looking for. Oh, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, unique characters, unique style, and he generally makes good movies. He's had some misses, but so has Sam Raimi. Even Steven Spielberg.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of great directors have some misses, but Richie's definitely made some really good ones. And, so we're going to talk Snatch next week on the show, and I'm looking forward to it. But until then, the Rebel Radio Podcast.com, where you can find all our Rebel Radio stuff, all the
stuff,
the different apps we're on, and all those good things, and our social media. And we're about 3 weeks away from, only 3 or 4 weeks away from Compalooza, where we will be recording live and doing a fun show there. So we look forward to that. Until then, continue to stay safe out there. And thank you as always for listening. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Remember, as always, just go there
and do it.